Texas Business Minds, a presentation of the Business Journals of Texas. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas. An Austin icon for 40 years, Amy's Ice Creams not only survived the pandemic, but has grown along with the city's surging population. How have they done it? And what are their plans for the future? Austin Business Journal reporter Sahar Shmais gets the scoop from founder Amy Simmons.
I wanted to talk to you today as an Austin icon, and I think Amy's Ice Creams is probably one of the best channels to do that through. Unfortunately, after the pandemic and through inflation and with Austin's quickly evolving landscape, we've seen so many businesses close. So I wanted to just start off and ask you how you've managed to not just keep your ice cream relevant for 40 years, but you keep on growing. So how do you do that?
I think it's because from the very beginning, we really approached the business in a different way. My undergraduate degree was biology, psychology, and pre-med. Never took a business class, never considered being a business person. Honestly, it was created through culture and community and how to make a difference and creating, you know, binds between family members, and the motive was never money. And I think that sometimes in the end, that makes you more successful because that's not your sole motive. So I think all that kind of foundational building blocks of how the company was built, being very inclusive and using the ideas of everybody involved, really being team, early on being servant leadership before that word was really coined, contributed a lot to our survival. But also, I got my MBA at UT well after I opened Amy's, and that was really helpful because I did get, you know, business information and incredible relationships within the community. It's staying nimble. I was the first female professional boxer in the state of Texas.
That's incredible. And how did you go from pre-med, psychology, biology into ice cream? What drove you to that specific niche in business?
I worked in food service since I was little, but when I was in college, for money, I worked at an ice cream store. And you can't even explain it. The relationships that I had with my coworkers and then with the community, and many of those, I mean, that was 60 years ago, maybe. No, like not that long. Maybe like 45. But I still have them today. It's something about ice cream. Ice cream is a food, but people get it for a different reason than they're hungry. They get it to share experience with family or friends or on a first date. And being a part of that, working for this ice cream store in Boston when I was in college, when I graduated, I was worried about med school debt. And I thought, well, you know, they offered me a job to go to New York City and open an ice cream store for them. And I thought, let me just grab this opportunity and I can turn around and go to med school next year. And it just was this snowball of I loved every minute of it. Small business, you're never bored. You're doing marketing, you're doing finance, you're doing real estate, you're doing graphics, and it's human resources. It's just never boring. And, you know, I think not everybody has the innate skills to be able to juggle that many subjects, but I think that was kind of something I was born with. So it ended up being a great match. And I went down, I opened Manhattan. We were really successful. Went down to Florida and opened a store for them. And then they sold. And the new company really destroyed the culture in about 2 months. And so I was young. I was 22 years old. I thought I'd write a business plan, raise money. I could do it better. And I'd never been to Austin before. Flew into Austin, you know, met Judy with Texas French Bread, met Mike Young with Chewy's, and I'd never seen a more entrepreneurial city. There were no, you know, Bennigan's or Chili's within the city limits. It was all these incredible local homespun businesses with tons of character and a great sense of community. So it wasn't a career decision. It was kind of momentum. And then at some point I asked, you know, what are my life goals? And I realized that they could be realized really the most through this ice cream store. Most important thing over the years, this is 40 years this year, is our employees. And we have so many marriages that happen through Amy's and so many people who gain their confidence and open their own companies that came through Amy's. And, you know, my attorney was in line the very first day of Amy's 40 years ago. Just so many relationships. And that's, you know, that's been so incredibly fulfilling to me.
Yeah, that's incredible to hear. And also at such a young age to have created that vision is incredible. But I'm so glad that you mentioned how you kind of found home in Austin through other entrepreneurs, because I constantly hear that notion that restaurants and people in CPG, there's like a huge collaborative feeling throughout the city where you can just go to somebody who is technically a competitor and talk to them and ask them for business advice, and they're more than willing to help. Are there any specific businesses around Austin that you feel you've leaned on over the years to help you with your growth?
Oh, so many. It starts with my original landlord. So, you know, his business was real estate, but Roger Joseph was one of my biggest mentors. The people who built my store, the original construction people, they were big mentors. Still very great friends with Waterloo Records and book people, Steve Berku and John Kuntz. You can't turn around without Randy Cohen, who had Ticket City, Ronald Chang with Chinatown. They're just brilliant people. Carol Thompson, just everywhere you turn. You know, George Kosmetsky was the dean of the business school for a long time. He put Laura Kilcrease in charge of Austin Technology Incubator. She's brilliant and so giving. I just never, ever, I grew up in Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is it has the University of Michigan. My mother was a professor at University of Michigan. It's a very similar environment. It's just so focused on learning and growth and the humility of continuous learning and community.
I love hearing that. Again, it just solidifies this idea of what Austin is all about, whether it's how we treat our entrepreneurs or what makes our business is so unique. Even to you, what are some of the Austin icons or iconic businesses around Austin that you love?
There's so many. I mean, Thundercloud is a huge one. Newer ones like Papalote, and they also have Azul Tequila. Just those guys are such hardworking guys and have so much care in their businesses. The soup peddler, David Ansel, he's just dreamy. I don't want to miss anybody, but I could go on and on and on. There's just so many incredible businesses.
I love all of those businesses you just talked about as well. I've had many soups and smoothies from soup peddler, whether I was sick or after a workout. It's perfect in all conditions.
Not only is his product great, but he's such a good guy. Just really approachable and just thoughtful and always thinking. And
I see a lot of like Austin-based businesses that go into the consumer packaged goods sphere, whether they started off as a restaurant or they went straight into that. And I was wondering if you ever consider going into that CPG route, or if you've ever considered it and decided maybe not to do it. Could you tell me a little more about your experience with CPG?
Yeah, I pretty early on had an employee, he's now president of a bank in Austin, Rod Edens, but we partnered and it was called Amy's Pint Size, and he did an amazing job. I think he got 25% of super premium ice cream market in Austin and Houston, and he was kind of ready to invest more in the business and go into the Dallas market and just decided not to. But that, it's such a different experience. Retail experiences, it's not only the product, but more important to us than the product is the people and the role they play in people's lives. Our mission statement is to make people's day. And when you have a product in a grocery store, you know, you don't get that opportunity to really interact on a personal level. And it's just a very different game. So it's more of a money game to me. I mean, it's all competitive. If you make the right moves and you're successful, it's a game you just won. And I'm very competitive. But you know, the core of what feeds me is the relationships with humans. And so that really just didn't appeal to me. He was very successful, but decided that he wasn't going to go that route. And so I really never desired going back that direction.
Well, if you ever get another chance to do it or another partner who's willing to carry the CPG route, would you consider it?
I'd certainly consider it. I think, you know, we have a great product. We have a fun story that goes along with it, which is all part of the experience. And so, yeah, I definitely consider it.
I think about it like this. Anytime I've gone into Amy's Ice Creams, whether I was in a bad mood or good mood, whatever, I walk out of there happy. Probably can't say the same about, you know, going into a dentist's office or many of the businesses around, but there's something about Amy's Ice Creams of just going in there, grabbing a cone, smelling that waffle cone smell, and, you know, watching them flip the ice cream and do all the cool tricks with it. That just, it is a very much people business. I mean, is that a big perk to you then from the job?
Oh, it's absolutely everything. I mean, I say on my deathbed, I am content because of these relationships. And we always have different levels to Amy's. Amy's, we're schlepping ice cream, but we're really trying to teach relationships and how to communicate well and how to make decisions. And we practice something called the Great Game of Business, where we share our financials with our employees. Nobody wants to look at a financial statement. It's boring. But we make it meaningful. We teach it as it relates to your own personal financial statement. And I had an employee write me and just say he's been incredibly successful in the solar industry. And he just wanted to say that it was all attributable to his time at Amy's and studying the financial statements of Amy's. And that kind of feedback that you've made a difference in somebody's life. And he said, I can afford a home and I have a child and I can afford to care for her in the way I want to. And I love my job. And I attribute that to my time, you know, when I'm a young kid schlepping ice cream in an ice cream store. It's just absolutely priceless. Absolutely priceless.
Wow. I mean, what made you decide to go for it and say, I'm going to share this information with my employees?
Because I think that there's a naivete in this country. One of my favorite books is Ayn Rand, Atlas Shrugged, about the role businesses play in communities. There are evil businesses. We kind of demonize capitalism sometimes. And because it seems like it's about the money. And then you have businesses like Enron, which really, you know, are corrupt, and there are people that were taking undue amounts of money. But the average business that's responsible for our economy is small business, and it's a part of the community. And you know, if I ask a group of employees that are being trained what are net profits versus gross profits, if our gross sales are $10 million, how much do we take home? You'd be surprised how many people say you're taking home $10 million. They're not thinking, oh, you got to pay your employees, you got to pay your rent, you got to pay property taxes and insurance and utilities and health insurance. There's so many expenses, and it's very difficult to get to the end and still have money. And so I think I felt like it was important to educate young people. And, you know, there's been a real gap in education, I think. When I was young, I might have a home economics. And part of home economics was how do you financially manage a household? And then, you know, we got rid of all that. But then I have daughters, 29 and 27, who really didn't learn how to balance the economics of their lives. And so, and a lot of our employees' parents were entrepreneurs, and they said, you know, we tried to teach our kids, but they don't want to listen to us. Kids don't necessarily listen to their parents, but they could hear it from you. And they came home and told me all about the finances of business. And I was just beaming because they had gotten the message. I met a gentleman this past weekend who is associate dean of Black Studies at UT. And he was telling me about courses that they're teaching to help all incoming freshmen be more successful. And it's kind of going back to those things that we used to get in high school that we're just not getting anymore. So if I can contribute to that, you know, education comes from so many places. It might come from getting a college degree, but it also comes from your role as an employee in a company. You know, my life is paradise because I was an entrepreneur, am an entrepreneur, and I would like to give the skills and confidence to other people so that they believe that they have that opportunity too.
Amy Simmons joining us. Next, she shares the future for her iconic business when Texas Business Minds continues.
At Texas Mutual, we work vigilantly to investigate and prevent workers' compensation insurance fraud, which has resulted in over $13.5 million in restitution and recoveries for Texas businesses since 2018. Learn how your business is better at texasmutual.com/fraud.
If you could tell me a little bit more about some of your other businesses. I know that Phil's and Amy's aren't the only ventures that you have.
Well, the real estate and the Austinville centers, and then with Steve Simmons, I opened Honey's Pizza in Smithville, which he has now. He's doing a wonderful job with it. We went and studied how to make Neapolitan pizza and wood-burning oven, kind of like bufaladas. Bufaladas is my favorite in Austin. And then we also, with our production manager, Erin Stanley, she went to the Cordon Bleu Cooking School and got her degree in pastries. And we opened Baked by Amy's. We had a retail storefront, but then we decided to just bring it into the production facility. And so we make a lot of our own ingredients. And then she does a lot of custom cakes, and she makes macaroons and brownies. We make our brownies for brownie sundaes and shortbread cookies. And so that's Baked by Amy's. And for a little bit, we had an education company where we taught the great game of business and taught some customer service methods to other businesses. But we kind of got too many irons in the fire and tried to kind of bring it down to our core business.
I also wanted to ask you about your stores in Houston and San Antonio. What made you decide to go into those markets, and how do they differ from Austin?
So we actually, in 1986 through 89, we were in Dallas. 86 was a big, we've probably been through three major economic crashes, and one of them was 1986. So that store did really well in Dallas, but the area that was developing, it was in the West End Marketplace. It was supposed to be built out to be this kind of large community area downtown, and because of the economy, it was stilted. And so we came back at the end of that lease. But Houston, we just, you know, when you're founded in a city that has such a major university, and at that time, you couldn't get a job in Austin, really. You'd graduate from UT and you'd want to stay in Austin, but you'd have to go to Dallas or Houston. So we had so many kind of expats that were in Houston and just begging us to come there. So we went into the center we're in there, which is Shepherd Plaza, and absolutely love it. And we have a great Amy's community there. The hard part of that is you can't have the same interactions, daily interactions with your team when you're in a different city. But they've really built their own little subculture, which has the same values, but really relates to the Houston market. And then we recently opened in the Heights, which, you know, I've always just absolutely loved it. It reminds you of Austin and the homes in Austin. And then San Antonio was another economic crisis year, 2008. The developer of the quarry, which is where we are, was really an Amy's fan, and he wanted us to go into that development. And there were a number of other local Austin businesses going in. But I was just afraid because of the economic environment. So we ended up creating a partnership with him and a number of his peers. And so we have partners in the San Antonio location. And I think we've had the same two managers for 20 years. It's kind of remarkable how long people are with us. But the current manager, Tommy, is just, he's just dreamy. Yeah, he does a lot of our training. He's just so incredibly inspirational. But love that market. And in business, you're often measured by how rapidly you grow and how many units you have and what your gross revenue is. That if you're rapidly growing, you know, the list of fastest growing companies, that's you know, when you're a competitive person, that's kind of your goal and motive. And I'm very competitive. I said, okay, wait a minute. I want to take a different look at this. What are my goals, my personal goals? And my personal goals were really to connect with the community. We don't do traditional marketing. Our marketing is real charitable work within the community. And so we've always intentionally grown very slowly and in a way that we could ensure that we're offering that same great customer experience, not to say that we don't fail occasionally, but you know, on average, really this exceptional experience for people. And so we're in Houston, we're in San Antonio. The people are doing incredible jobs of kind of being Amy's and everything Amy stands for in their own way in those markets. But we're slow to grow them because we want to make sure we can make promises we can keep.
From what I hear then, when you're trying to open in another city, you have to bring someone in that you can really trust and have that relationship very well built so that you can entrust your business in their hands, that they'll operate the way that any Austin location would operate.
Yeah, absolutely. And trust them to truly, you know, be motivated by the same things that you're motivated by.
Yeah. Are you eyeing any stores right now outside of Austin?
Well, we're opening in Dripping Springs in April. So we really kind of stayed pretty central Austin. And we had customers like, please, please come, you know. And so Atlin is a little braver than I am. He opened in Cedar Park and it's been doing spectacular, and Round Rock, and they're doing spectacular. And we're opening in Dripping Springs. So it's a little bit of a different model, but the idea is if the store does well, that's kind of the customer's voting with their business that it's wanted and it's serving a need. So I'm going with it.
Yeah. And I bet, you know, so many Austinites have had to move into the suburbs, whether that's Dripping Springs, Cedar Park. I'm sure you get a lot of the same customers who grew up with Amy's Ice Creams excited to have you there. And of course, the people who might have not tried you before, and they're like, wow, we get a great neighborhood ice cream shop.
Yeah. And our employees, you know, our employees have been able to buy homes, but it's, you know, it's getting further and further out. And so we want to be where they are also.
Do you mind sharing with me any future growth plans that you have? That doesn't have to be anchored in the Austin metro. It could be outside. It could be, you know, as we discussed, CPG. Anything new coming up for Amy's?
Because Alan's driving this, we opened two stores last year, and the Dripping Springs store is about to open. And, you know, construction really, I mean, for us, probably doubled in cost since prior to COVID. So we're going to take it easy for a bit because we're financially very conservative and make sure that we're operating well. And then, you know, we'll make the next move. I've always wanted to go back to Dallas. I think we get the most requests for stores in Dallas. But in order to go into a market that's that far away, you kind of have to go in with some critical mass, which is 3 to 5 units, you know, 3 minimum, but probably more like 5. And that's a big financial endeavor, especially with the cost now. So we just need to make sure that we've got our operating team in place and everybody's happy. And, and you know, we're kind of on top of these kind of moving expense targets. Like dairy just went way up this year. Just got to keep an eye on all the balls.
Thank you for all the tips here today and talking so candidly about the business of ice cream and how you got here. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and I hope we can get together another time as well.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
Thank you for downloading Texas Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Texas. Brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' comp provider committed to helping companies build a stronger, safer Texas.